You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Friday as we get ready for the Cornhuskers and the Badgers on Saturday afternoon at Camp Randall. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. This is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin basketball and football all week long. You can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you will find LOB. Also find us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers. Make sure you follow there. If you were on Apple, hit that subscribe button. If you're on Spotify, hit that follow button. And make sure you drop a review on Apple to keep us in the good algorithms with Apple, and drop a five-star, leave a comment, whatever you want to do. Also, make sure you get involved on Twitter. Let us know about guests, about topics, all that stuff at Locked On Badgers on Twitter. Ben, Wisconsin and Nebraska, I know we have some more stuff to get into about the actual matchup before we make predictions, but it's trap week, and I will say right off the bat, I'm not getting as crazy as maybe I wanted to earlier in the week with my prediction, but we'll go from there.
Yeah, as I talked about it more and more and more, I hosted a radio with Zach Halperin, who covers the team for our station up here in Madison. As I talked with him more and more and more, I still feel the same way about the game being competitive. But the coaches getting fired that I mentioned last episode, I think that is a really significant piece. Nebraska's best player, JoJo Doman, missing the rest of the year on defense, that is. Yeah, I'm not picking Nebraska to win. I thought there was a world that I might, depending on what we saw. But after what we've seen from Wisconsin the last 2 months, really, and with where Nebraska's trending, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I can't either. And I'll open it up with that right there. And I think one of the biggest reasons I can is because Braylon Allen exists on Wisconsin's football team right now. And I think that he's going to have an absolutely monster day because if you – well, look at the track record of every great back Wisconsin's had and their games against Nebraska. Yeah, it's a pretty serious domination for Wisconsin on the ground.
I think we need to start the episode with a discussion. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know the name of the trophy that Wisconsin and Nebraska play for?
Nope. Didn't even know there was one.
So this is a trophy game. It is called since 2014. It was a Gary Anderson thing.
Oh, God.
Nebraska has never held on to the trophy. Zach told me a story that there was a time a couple years ago when Wisconsin won, and it has left the trophy on the sideline. No one cared.
So do they even know it's a trophy game?
Well, they know it's a trophy game, but because media access is different. And in college, you don't get access to close to anybody, but I think it would be a great exercise to go ask every freshman and sophomore on the team, because they didn't play Nebraska last year. Everybody who has not played Nebraska yet in their career, ask them if they know the name of the trophy. I think maybe 10% would get it right. I don't think most Badger fans know. It's like everyone knows the Axe. Everyone knows the Heartland Trophy. But no one knows about the Freedom Trophy. I just find it funny.
The Freedom Trophy, because that's the first time you've actually said the name. So it is called
the second. Trophy. It's the second. I kind of slotted it in.
It's called the Freedom Trophy, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep, never heard.
Yeah, because Wisconsin, I would make a joke that Wisconsin has a chance to free Nebraska from Scott Frost, but that's clearly not the case because they already fired the rest of their staff in order to keep him around. Oh, what a disaster. And by the way, Jim Polzin just wrote this, and it's a really good piece. Lee Sports columnist who covers all Wisconsin sports said to Wisconsin fans and Wisconsin as a whole, be careful what you wish for. Nebraska 20 years ago thought that 9-win seasons were not good enough, and they thought that they really deserved to be the Alabama of college football. Look where they are now.
I saw that headline as well. I saw that headline, and I really liked it.
He's right.
He is right. And Nebraska is now in a position where, Ben, they are definitely not Alabama. They are closer to Rutgers and Illinois than they are to Alabama at this point. And they fired coaches, Ben, over the last two decades that had success.
Pelini!
Yeah, if you compared it to the success of the greats, I guess it's not success, but it's still success in its own right. And now look where they are.
Bo Pelini, listen to this. Bo Pelini was their coach 2008 to 2014. His records, and this is in order, 9-4, 10-4, 10-4, 9-4, 10-4, 9-4. Then he goes 9-3. They were in the Big Ten for 4 years. and they had not lost fewer than 9 games. He is 9-3 in 2014. They fire him before the bowl game. Since then, they've had one winning season with Mike Riley in 2016. The rest of that, 4-8, 4-8, 5-7, 3-5. Now they're 3-7 this year.
Ridiculously terrible.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but this is a fun tangent I'm on right now. Do you know where their class is ranked in the Big Ten for 2022?
I'm going to go with 9th.
14th, Asher.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Yikes. Jeez. 14th in the Big Ten. And that would be dead last. That would, in fact, be dead last. How do they have a worse class than, like, Illinois?
They have the 71st ranked class in the country. I'm going to pull up the entire Big Ten right now.
Is Illinois, that in the FBS?
Ooh, Illinois. Oh, Illinois is ahead of Wisconsin right now. So I think.
Well, we all know what Wisconsin does. They don't care about three-star.
Well, Illinois also has 17 commits. Wisconsin only has 12, and they're still looking
for. Those are weird because they factor in the amount of commits in some way versus the quality of commit. It's just kind of a weird system to rank on, but still. 14th means you're doing something wrong.
Well, they have the fewest number of commits. They have 9 commits. And, it's not good.
Definitely, and I'm not loving anything that you just told me about Nebraska, but I am loving McDonald's, the place to go after a Wisconsin win, the place to go late night when you're studying as a Badger, the place to go on a long road trip and stretch your legs. McDonald's is the spot, serving families and communities for over 5 decades, Ben. McDonald's, the Golden Arches, I'm loving it.
I have a beverage or two calling my name when this is over. It's been a long week of radio, and I'm going to fix in myself some McDonald's later tonight.
I love it. What's your order? What's your go-to McDonald's?
I'm McDonald's, Big Mac, wonderful. I'm not really a burger at certain times of night person. I'm a big McNugget, fries, and a Frosty guy.
McNuggets, fries.
Not a Frosty. A McFlurry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for correcting your Oreo McFlurry guy.
I don't really have much of a preference. They're all good.
Fair enough. Moving on, Ben, to your preference in this game. We both, I think, wanted to take Nebraska just to be fun and have a cool, wild episode. But let's be honest, as we opened with, neither of us can really do that and sit here with a straight face. So we're not going to do that. But how close is this game going to be?
So I see two possible scenarios playing out, and then I want to get your thoughts on my outlook overall. Either Wisconsin wins by 3,000, covers, blows them out like we've seen the last couple of weeks. In that scenario, this is what happened. The defense plays the same level of dominant defense we've seen. They force 2 or 3 Adrian Martinez turnovers, which I think we can rely on the defense to do something close to that. And then the offensive side, the offensive line succeeds. Nebraska can't defend the run without JoJo Doman. Braylon Allen has another absolute field day, as every Wisconsin running back for the last decade, Asher, has run all over Nebraska, no matter how good they were defending the rush coming in. In 2014, I think, when Melvin Gordon went for 408, that was a rush defense that was only allowing like 115, 120 yards a game, 3.7 yards a carry. Like, they were good. And then Melvin Gordon went nuts, right? This is a Nebraska rush defense right now, 23rd most efficient in the country. They've done well this season. They did really well against Kenneth Walker, really well against Ohio State. But until Nebraska really comes out and shuts down a Wisconsin rushing attack and wins against them, it's hard to pick against that happening, right? So if Braylon Allen goes crazy, we know what Mertz has done with a good rushing game. So that is scenario one. The other one I see playing out, which actually is my pick, because I do think it is a sneaky close game. The Wisconsin defense is dominant, but Adrian Martinez is able to ad lib and create a couple of plays, whether that is with his legs deep to Torre over the middle, just create 1 or 2 splash plays during the game. That would then give them, let's say, 10 points ish, 10 to 13 points, which Wisconsin should still be able to win. But if they can shut down Allen and make things hard for them, we know that Wisconsin has question marks behind Allen. And we know Graham Mertz, when he does not have a very dependable run game, has struggled throughout his career. And it's the case with a lot of Wisconsin quarterbacks, but especially him in the sample size we've seen. no run game equals turnovers equals struggles. So if that does happen, I do think Wisconsin still wins the game, but I think we are in the fourth quarter. The game is within 6 points, 4 points. And then Wisconsin's defense just proves to be way too good for Nebraska to orchestrate any type of meaningful drive. Thoughts?
I think I like most of what you just said, and I agree with it. Wisconsin's going to run the ball with Braylon, and if Braylon can stay healthy in this game and be able to really be the bell cow, then Wisconsin wins the football game, and I think wins it not totally comfortably, but I don't think it's coming down to like the wire, if you know what I'm saying. Say a 10-point win type of thing. Wisconsin does have a two-possession lead. Like, Nebraska's not driving for the win, but the game isn't, you know, Illinois. It's not Northwestern. So you feel some sort of like, okay, this is losable. You know what I mean? Like, you never felt at any point in Northwestern Illinois that it was losable, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Correct. And
in this game, at times you'll feel like, okay, if this turns this way, all of a sudden maybe you're starting to feel a little nervous. Like there'll be times in this game where you're feeling a little nervy, where Nebraska gets a stop, where Martinez makes a big play. There'll be that, a couple of those plays in this game. I think points will be scored. I do. I think
it'll really
be, and by that I mean like 45 total. But like comparatively to other games this year, I think this total will go over. It's at 43.5, Ben. And I think in general, points will be scored more than we've seen in some Wisconsin games. I think the defense will give up a play or two. I think Martinez's legs will make that happen. And I think Wisconsin, like I said, will break off a few huge runs, maybe a few big jet sweeps. Anything that involves running the ball, I think Wisconsin will pretty much succeed with against the black shirt defense. It's a Graham Mertz game, because if Graham Mertz like really makes two or three big mistakes, which we've seen him make in close games this year, Ben, this is going to feel very, very different. If he just takes care of the football, connects on those easy routes as he has been over the past few weeks, quick decisions for him, not holding onto the ball, and knows where he's going with the football quickly and effectively and decisively, then I think Wisconsin wins the game. So I do think this, the closeness of this game relies on Graham Mertz.
So a 10-point win with a 45-point total. That's pretty much what Vegas thinks. So you're out on a limb here.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm chalking it up. But hey, they always know.
Sometimes. I'm going to throw – is he even healthy? I really think – yes. I'm going to throw a name out there for you. A guy in the secondary, right? So we've outlined a Kyle Hamilton, a Brandon Joseph that Mertz should be afraid of going into games. Going to the Iowa game, it was really their entire secondary, even though Riley Moss was out. Deonte Williams can absolutely play at the safety spot. So if Nebraska does come up with a big play, we saw Mertz throw a pick last week. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that he throws one or two on Saturday. Question of how critical are they and where on the field does he throw them? But Deonte Williams can absolutely play. 4 interceptions, 3 passes defended this year, a couple tackles for loss. He's one of the dudes that when you watch Nebraska play, you just see him and you're like, yeah, that dude can play. It's the same with basketball. There's some times where you just see a guy play a couple times and it's all, I've watched too much Nebraska football this year, but in general, if you just watched one of their games, he would be a guy that would pop out as, yeah, you should probably watch out for that kind of guy. So I'm with you though. It could be a Graham Mertz game. I don't think it needs to be, because it's either Wisconsin runs the ball dominantly or their offense struggles, frankly. Because if here's my problem, if it needs to be a Graham Mertz game, Wisconsin's in a bad spot, right? They are not going to need, or they shouldn't need Graham Mertz to go off in addition to a run game until they get to a theoretical Big Ten championship. This is a game where if Graham Mertz is tasked with winning the game with his arm solely, then I would, Nebraska has a solid chance to be in the game late. But Asher, there are 4 guarantees in life: death, taxes, preseason Adrian Martinez Heisman hype, and late game Adrian Martinez turnovers. So there's a lot of juju going Wisconsin's way. I wish they played this game like 2 weeks ago so we could have picked Nebraska, but it's just not where these teams are right now. It really isn't. And finally, and I want your thoughts on this as well. I mean, this is, in theory, could be a letdown spot, right? It could be looking forward
to the Big Ten championship. It's the only letdown spot. I think it's the only clear letdown spot left, because you're not going to have like, of course they could lose the Minnesota game, but it's not a letdown spot. Like, they're going to be juiced for that game. It's not, it's not a game where you're coming in kind of all lackadaisical, like, oh, big game next week, or like, oh, we got the division locked up. No, it's a massive rivalry game. It's not what I consider a letdown. Because when I think of a letdown spot, Ben, I think of a game where it's not everything on the line, right? It's not a winner-take-all kind of situation, but you're looking ahead to a winner-take-all maybe in the next couple of weeks. And it's an opponent that they're not rivals. Like, they're good, but they're not actually good. You're clearly better than that team. All the letdown equations, all the letdown check marks, they fill into this Nebraska-Wisconsin game pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, but
Do you get what I'm saying there? Because they could lose the Minnesota game. By me saying this is not the only letdown spot left, that's not saying they are going to win the Minnesota game, like, automatically.
Yeah, but this is why I'm confident in them winning, because this team is not one that is poised for a letdown, right?
I agree.
They had a letdown start to the year. They're favored in the three games they lost. All the ranked teams, all were close games that they were battling in. They realized after Purdue goes to Iowa and they give them the second chance in the division, now they control their own destiny then. All they've done is won since then. I don't think this team and where they're at mentally is going to give a letdown game. The only game that this team is going to lose going forward this season is to a team that is just more talented and outplays them, which could be a team in the Big Ten championship. I really, really, really don't see them losing to Nebraska or Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that this game, Ben, like I said, comes down to Mertz not necessarily having to win the game, because as you said, that puts Wisconsin in a negative situation already. That means other things haven't worked. But not losing the game. And he's lost a couple games for Wisconsin this year. He can't lose this one, but I don't think he will. And I think Wisconsin does win this football game in the end. We'll get to all our final predictions, the score, all that good stuff in just a sec. First, a quick message from betonline.ag, the place to go. Once we give you all our picks, the number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season, use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Today's episode also brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting bar in the game. Built Bars are packed with low carbs, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. All the healthy benefits on top of being the most delicious protein bar out there, with flavors like mint brownie, salted caramel, cherry barcia, raspberry. Try them all with a Built Bar mixed box. Go to built.com right now. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. Built.com. LOCKED15 is the code. 15% off your order. Ben, final predictions. Wisconsin and the Huskers.
I think the game's going to go like the second thing I outlined, except I honestly, it's going to go in between the two. So I'm kind of making myself look like a dumbass. I think Braylon Allen does succeed, but not to the level he did against Northwestern. I do think Wisconsin finds a little bit of red zone trouble. I think Nebraska has shown an ability to make timely stops. For that reason, I don't see a runaway, score a lot of points blowout. I see Nebraska offensively connecting on one or two big plays, one or two big drives, whether it's Martinez's legs, Torre over the top. They're going to find a way to score 10 to 13 points. And then the question is, does Wisconsin have enough to close the game in the second half? I think they have a touchdown lead in the third quarter, touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. The door is definitely open for Nebraska, but I think Braylon Allen proves to be too much as the game goes on. Mertz made a big throw or two. Wisconsin will win 23-14.
So you're going pretty chalky as well. Come on, you can't hate on me and then say Wisconsin's going to win by nine.
I know. I know.
9.5 right now. Come on.
I know. I'm pretty. Oh, I thought it was 9. I was going to predict a push.
I've seen it at like 8, 9, 10.
No, it's 9.
So I actually love you predicting a push and then ripping on me previously for being chalky, because that's just beautiful irony right there.
Yeah. I never said I wouldn't. I was just pointing out that you did.
You know what? I want to push too. I'm going to agree with you, Ben. I want to push also. So I'm going to say the line's at 10 for the sake of my push and say Wisconsin wins this game 27-17. Total barely goes over at 44. Right now I see it at 43.5. Wisconsin controls the game on the ground. They don't turn the ball over enough to let Nebraska win this thing, but Martinez makes a couple big plays. The Huskers' grad assistants can't last past the first half against Jim Leonard, and Wisconsin's defense suffocates in the second half, Ben. I think this is the kind of game that is close at halftime, maybe tied at halftime type of thing. Wisconsin comes out and dominates defensively as the game progresses and as Nebraska kind of throws all its darts at the board, right? Like they're going to throw all the stuff they have at Wisconsin early. And I think the Badgers settle in and dominate. As always, on Wisconsin, any final thoughts to close out the week?
Freedom Trophy. However many millions of people listen to this podcast got smarter today.
I got one final thought to close out the week. Maui Invitational, but it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
Jonathan Davis is playing. He's playing in the Maui Invitational, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, Monday. It'll be out before we can record a podcast on it because it is Monday, or at least for Monday's podcast, that is, because it is Monday morning game on my time, afternoon game if you live in the Midwest. I believe a 1 p.m. Midwestern start there at the Maui Invitational in Las Vegas. Kind of dumb. Yeah, whatever. Wisconsin, Texas A&M, opening it on Monday.
You buried the lead there. Maui in Vegas, a.k.a. the ninth island of Hawaii.
I see it.